of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You have joined We the People Radio in the progress of sitting down. We have Wayne with us this morning instead of Bob.
Yes.
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, filling in today for Bob. Good morning.
Big Bob's in the hospital.
Yucky.
Morning, Wayne. Yeah. Morning.
So, when do you usually come here?
I am kind of the fill-in guy. Uh-huh. I do the news once a week now on Wednesday mornings.
And is that a good news day?
Yeah, sure. Good as any, I guess.
News is news.
Yep.
Well, that's just fun for everybody.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, nice having you.
Right.
This and is kind of how we roll, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're the like Heart Attack Sunday. Where the heck are the people? Did you think you're going to do the show yourself, huh?
I was kind of going to plan B there, okay.
I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's here. Oh, the door's locked.
Yeah.
We might be late, but we'll be the first ones to leave.
Right. Oh, my
well,
gosh.
I'm glad you made it.
Yeah. No, it all worked out. Hey, so you can give our friend Rick Frost there a call whenever.
All righty.
And we'll thread him in. I was chatting with him yesterday. All right. So let's see, for all the people out there in the big world that were already sitting down, probably already had their coffee all situated, you know, and didn't have to get dressed and run out the door, you were listening.
Don't you get dressed and run out the door every morning?
Did I say run out the door and get dressed? No.
No, you get dressed
and run out the door. Did I get it in the
right order? Yeah, you did. I'm just hoping you do that every day.
That's pivotal. Yeah, yeah, but these guys are, you know, you could be home right now in your pajamas.
Ah, yes.
That was the alternative I was looking for.
Unless
public nudity.
You don't wear pajamas.
Well, I knew public nudity would be part of it.
Yes, there you go.
Should that be private nudity? why quibble? Oh, my gosh. What a heinous Sunday morning show. What have they tuned into? You can join us online.
It's madness.
Join us online, actually. It's probably safer that way. WeThePeopleRadio.us. And you're going to find some really good information there. We're gonna chat with our friend Rick Frost. And he's been researching public policy, environmental madness, and yeah, madness. That'll be the word of the day. Madness.
Environmental madness. One of our hot topics. One of our favorite
one
topics.
One of our favorite topics, that's actually. Right. Environmental madness. But, you know, for those of you that watch or keep track of that kind of thing, you see that the most egregious example that we have here on the West Coast probably was the spotted owl thing. And you know, we've watched that policy change from the early 80s. I don't know, maybe it was late 70s. I tuned in the early 80s to that.
It was mid-80s.
Massive land grab, destroyed an industry, still destroying an industry, and the data never really matched up with what they were going to do. You know, those of us, I lived in Eureka at the time, and those of us who lived in those areas knew that spotted owls hung out in the clear cuts. They weren't in the old growth. But
it didn't matter.
We were always getting reports, though, that that Forest Service, Park Service, whoever it was hauling a what do you call it, a four wheeler or three wheeler through the forest with bags of cat food, open bags of cat food on the back of their vehicles.
Yeah, someone has to feed the rats and the squirrels, yeah, and the, you know, the mice.
Let's feed the rodents so they'll come in, so the owls will be in the old growth. We can take pictures of them and close down more forest land. So there's a long history of stuff like that. And coho salmon was another topic that Rick was going to bring up this morning. But he's not answering his phone. Is that our problem?
The coho is the same one that you buy at Costco.
Even a message, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was no answer. So
whatever, Bill.
Oh, just put him on redial and just call him until he gives up.
Okay.
The coho salmon. So yeah. Now we've got to rearrange.
On sale at Costco.
Exactly. We've got to rearrange the world for a fish you can buy at Costco.
And now I hear we're cooling the river. Doesn't matter. We don't, you know, have enough water. But actually, I don't know if it's going to take more water, but we are.
Are we icing it down? Or what are we doing?
We're icing it down with the big water coolers they installed up at Shasta. We're finally turning those on, and we're going to take care of them. Otherwise, we're going to lose a whole generation of salmon.
Huh.
Now, it's been, how many? A millennia that they've been coming up the river, and they probably never had a drought up until now, but they won't survive unless we cool that river down. So by golly, we're gonna help them out.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, I think next time everybody goes to Costco, I think you should look for endangered species there. I think you ought to take a look for, you know, I do. I look for baby seal oil, tiger meat, elephant tusk, that kind of thing.
I'll tell you what, you can't have a finer French fry unless it's cooked in whale oil. That's good stuff. That's good stuff right there.
I do. I just find it stunning that the only endangered species I've been able to find is coho salmon.
Yeah.
And they tell me it's different. It's a different coho salmon. I'm like, really?
Yeah, genetically.
Do the other fish know that?
It's completely different. Yeah.
No, really. It's
totally looks like
different.
A catfish.
Looks like a catfish.
Yeah.
Hey, did I give you the right number? Poor Wayne. Here I have my foolproof system. This is my foolproof system. I write the guest phone number on a Post-it note and then stick it in my notebook.
Well, you're high tech.
Yeah. And then when I get here, I flip him the Post-it note and I'm like, here you go. Call the guy. Mr. Frost. What are you doing out there? Okay, so let's get to the part of what is he's going to talk about. He's chatting about the Data Quality Act today, because there is actually a thing called the Data Quality Act. And there,
where the data actually has to have quality.
It is exactly what it says.
It has to be good stuff.
The problem is they don't...
the same people writing it verify it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So Congress passed it at some point in time. This is the part where we need Rick for the details, since sometimes that's not my strong suit. If you go on the website, though, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, for one, you can click the listen button, join us on the chat room. That's always fun. And it's a good way to ask questions and also goof off if you like to do, you know, a couple things at the same time. But the first link he has for us here is ensuring regulatory agency like EPA transparency and accountability via the U.S. Information Quality Act. So they're supposed to, here's a little part of it. The objectives for this thing are to minimize and reduce the paperwork burdens for individuals, small businesses. What a great idea. Educational and nonprofit institutions and other persons resulting from the collection of information by or for the federal government. So they can't just paper you to death.
Right.
We want you to go do another study. We want you to go count some more stuff. We want you to go, you know, measure more things. Burdens include those on time, effort, financial resources to comply with prior, existing, or prospective rules and requirements. Because a lot of times, the manpower restrictions, the financial restrictions of individuals are not considered in the course of trying to comply with these nutty things. Another little piece of it is to maximize the utility of information created by or for the federal government. So once you collect it all, they have to use it. What a great idea. To improve the quality and use of federal information, so rather than just, bury them in data, they've got to actually use it, and to strengthen accountability and openness in...
So they can't use another source of information other than what they've
Well, that's posted. Kind of the... That's sort of where we're headed. So I'll complete the circuit because the... Okay, here's a group. The ITSSD. This is the Institute for Trade Standards and Sustainable Development. And this is like the good...
We've all heard of them.
This is like the good sustainable development like we think of, mm-hmm. where you cut trees and grow more. Lawrence Kogan is the managing principal of the Kogan Law Group and the president and CEO of the Institute for Trade Standards and Sustainable Development. They've been really drilling down. We've got a link there to one where they really basically expose NOAA. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I can actually just, like, rattle that off now. That's what kind of freaks me out. I'm not, like, big on acronyms, actually.
Yeah, you're turning into one of them.
I'm turning into one of them, NOAA. Well, they constantly show up inland. See, normally here, why would we deal with NOAA? But
yeah, they need to change their acronym.
I know. Like,
so they can go inland.
Can we work in the word Budinsky? Because that's really what
we
need.
Yeah.
I mean, you're, you know, you're 150 miles from the coast and they're jacking up a farmer for a dead goldfish in his ditch. It's like, what are you guys doing here? Aren't you in the wrong department? But NOAA disregarded tons of data. And same too with like the back to the coho salmon. There is evidence that the coho salmon were brought there to sustain the native people and people that didn't leave the area back in the 1880s or 90s, long time ago. So they were not a native species at that time. They didn't just migrate way away from the coast. They were brought there. And then all of a sudden, the world has to be rearranged to sustain a population that was never there in the first place. And Rick's got some information on red-legged frogs and I forget what the other thing is. A bunch of annoying stuff that, I don't know. I'll just say it. We're not going to miss. Terrible. Did you lock the front door? No. Wayne's shaking his head. He's like, no, but I'm thinking about it. We're going to get firebombed any minute now. So, okay, why don't we take a swift break and reconnoiter? How's that? Since it's 8:15, we never do this on time. I just want you to know that.
Hey, we can be late, but Rick, we're going to have a talking.
Rick, we're going to go whoop up on Rick. We've got like 2 minutes to do it. We're going to pretend we're thanking the advertisers, but it's just a ruse for guest abuse. All right. So you are listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And punch on the listen live button, and you will get the chat room. Hit it, Wayne.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Classic song. That's what we did. We just called Mr. Frost and we said, jump! Well, we tried to say jump earlier, and he didn't say how high because he didn't answer. Little snag there.
Yeah.
Nice one, Wayne.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what you can get done when you have a talking to somebody. You know, we straighten him out.
Yeah, we did.
A little talking
to him. Yeah, he answered. I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
We texted him. We called him. Yep, give him a call. He should answer now because we told him to do it.
Yeah. And we all know when Aaron speaks.
When I tell him you do it, darn it.
That's right.
Do it, darn it.
Somebody listens.
Oh, that's funny. You're pretty good at that too, Willis.
Well, you know, yeah, but you always get the blame, which is you know, cuts me a lot.
Too.
It gives me a lot of rope.
I don't even have to be there. I can get blamed.
Yeah,
that's my special gift.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, So Ed just sent me a message. He said, I'm listening.
To what?
Hi, Ed. Hi, Diana.
Yeah, what are you listening
you
to?
You should have called us. We had nothing to do. No one to do it with. Do we have the indubitable Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Well, good morning, Rick. How are you?
What an auspicious beginning.
It's been a long weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That was funny. Well, we, you know, we had a little fun at your expense. You know, the usual. Nothing you wouldn't expect.
I can't laugh at myself.
Exactly.
Can't allow others.
What good are we? Hey, so we were... we were kind of briefing people on the Data Quality Act, and we did that in about 10 minutes. Now we're completely out of information. So this is the this is the part where you pick up.
We made the rookie moves.
Yeah, we did.
We need to bring in the pros.
Like, we told them what the links on the website were going to be about when someone got on here to explain it to them.
And when I go to the Data Quality website, I always get information on how to repair my clothes dryer. So I'm doing something wrong here. I need some help.
We already made fun of the coho salmon that you can buy at Costco. We used all of our good material already.
And I'm no Shecky Green, let me tell you.
That's not what I've heard. Oh. Anyway, how you doing?
Where would you like to start?
Well, we could start wherever you like, since obviously I thought we were having a hard time getting here today, but apparently you trump us.
No, my phone was buried somewhere. Couldn't find it.
You could hear it. You just couldn't find it.
Bottom of a laundry pile.
Yeah, that's always bad. That's funny. So, okay, Data Quality Act. What do people want to know about that? And what should be happening? I guess in a nutshell.
Let's just start with the situation that created the Data Quality Act.
Oh, more stuff we didn't know.
Let's go back to the origins of the final version in 1978 of the ESA. Endangered Species Act. What happened is the Endangered Species Act history, actually the first one was put together in 1964, and the attempt of the Endangered Species Act was to coalesce and put together all of the treaties that the United States had over the years, going back to 1916, dealing with migratory waterfowl, commercial trade in plants and species, between states and between nations, things like that. And so basically the whole effort was to try to unify all of the treaties into one document, one that everyone functioned under. And so the version that was finally passed that created the controversy was in 1974. And what happened is that they had totally left out economics, impacts to humans and their communities. So from that point forward, there was an effort to go back and try to revamp things. And so in 1978, they added the economic and human dimension clauses, saying that you cannot have an endangered species or critical habitat, things like that, unless you analyze the impacts to the human world and the human communities. Well, that was allowed people to basically get involved in the process of the science that's used to make these decisions. So people started, you know, moving forward in that direction. And then what happened is that they found out that the scientists and the agencies were finding loopholes and ways around the public involvement because it was impacting their ability to stop commercial enterprise and human occupation of the ground and actually starting to shut things down. So they basically, they and I mean the agencies, EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Forest Service, BLM, those folks, they basically figured out that, well, the way that we keep the public out and the way that we promote and continue our agenda through regulatory control is to make the scientific process so murky that we need to create a black box where all of our decisions happen so nobody can come inside. And so they would have institutions and government agencies provide grants to explore and expand the science investigations, things like this, to make these decisions. And what they would do is that over time they discovered we could have one agency provide the funding, say the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They will give it to university, or they will give it to some biology organization, typically a nonprofit, and pay them to go do the science. And then what they would do is that the agency scientists that gave the money out would be the ones that the universities and these other organizations would hand their scientific reports back to, and it says, take a look at this and see if you think this is pretty much in line with what we want. And that is what they called the peer review process. And so basically they were giving the chickens to the fox to determine if they were fit to eat.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat trick, if you can get
it. By doing that, though, it created this huge cloud that kept the public out, because all of the science, all of the language, everything went back and forth between the people that understood what was going on, but the people that don't understand Greek couldn't read. So Ronald Reagan then passed issued an executive order, and later Bill Clinton issued an executive order that says the agencies will provide a minimum of 60 days for review, and they will put it into a language that allows people to read this thing. It was all part of the Paper Reduction Act, things like that, because these volumes, literally volumes of information would be coming out. I mean, you'd have a 5-pound EIS that nobody could digest because it was just too wordy. And anyhow, the executive orders were passed so that people would have a chance to go through, read the reports, go back and research the so-called peer review articles that were cited as references in the documents, and then go back and actually be able to look at those documents and determine if the scientific methodology and soundness of that document was intact, and they could get their information from there. And what they found out was, like, they would go through and still have these things so wordy and stuff that what would happen is they'd go through, well, let me just step back a second. What I would do when I read these documents is I pull out a pad of paper and I draw columns across the top, 4, maybe 5. One side I'll put who made the citation, what the citation is. The next column over, I will put down if it was a personal communication or if it was an outright scientific quote, you know, from a document. And then the next column, I will write down that document so I can go out and later research it and read through it for validity. And I know not everybody's going to sit down and read a scientific document. That's just what folks just don't do.
Okay, you found us out.
I mean, these are things that put you to sleep at night real quick, you know, because they're wordy and they're heavy to read. But nevertheless, in this column, I will mark down personal communication, or I'll mark down citation. And then at the bottom, I will go through, add them all up, and then divide them and find out what percentage of the total is anecdotal conjecture. Because a personal communication is very much like right now. No one is taking down a transcript of this conversation so that nobody can come back in the future and read what we said. Now, yes, you're probably recording this. You can go back and listen to the recording. But you're not going to read this. Well, when one scientist calls another on an issue, and they say, well, what do you think about this? Well, I think X, Y, Z. Well, I write that down, and that becomes a personal communication. And so if you have a document based on science, alleged science, that is primarily weighted towards the personal communication side, that means you have no means to go through and verify the data based on a quote. And he says, pending publication or something like that. Well, that just doesn't cut it, you know? What would you do if your banker would say, well, we're working on your statement, and we'll get it to you when we think about it, and like 2 months later? No, business doesn't operate that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. And you said alleged data.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is right there.
That's the huge problem.
Exactly.
And that is the problem. And this consistent pattern of taking science to incredulous levels that you almost had to be a Latin expert to read what's going on, or they're so filled with acronyms.
Right. So how could you dispute it?
Mass dictionary. That they cloud this thing. It's almost like the priests of old would always have their messages and the masses in Latin, and eventually the Vatican saw the light that they need to bring the church in the 20th century. And so in the 1960s, they had Vatican II that got away from Latin mass and had the language of the people included, so that it made it more personable, more real to the folks, so that they broke that wall between the priests and the lay people. That is what the Data Quality Act is attempting to do, is to break the wall between the lay people and the religious of the Endangered Species Act, the Environmental Act, whatever you want to call it. You know, I mean, anymore, so much of their science has been busted and their claims have been busted that you have to be a religious fanatic to actually believe some of the stuff that they're pushing.
So before that data gets into the system, it's got to be verified by an independent source.
No, it's not.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Why can't they get that done?
Well, that is what the Data Quality Act was pushing. Okay,
right.
You get into it, and it says you will have an outside independent organization peer review your science. And if you don't, then you will be subject to violations and things like that. And it's going to allow any entity to come in and sue you and basically demand that the data be examined and that the courts have an opportunity to force the agencies back into a scientific track rather than a political track. The problem is the Data Quality Act does not have any remedies or recourse if the agencies do not follow through. And it's a fairly new act. It was passed in the 1990s, and there's only been one full lawsuit that came out of this, put together by the Competitive Enterprise Institute. They did make it all the way up to the top of the court system, and it did get turned down. They lost their case, but there's three others that are currently active that were filed by some other organizations. So, I mean, people are starting to wake up to the fact that we can now go back and say, we need to have this thing checked for science soundness.
So there's nothing there's nothing in the system to challenge the facts. Once the facts get in there, you pretty much got to take it to court to get it changed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing in the agency systems that will allow you the means
to challenge,
then turn around and push the agency to check on the science.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
That's great.
There's like no recourse. So,
well, they never make a mistake. That's why there's nothing in the system. It'd be useless to have something like that. Nobody would ever use it.
A check and a balance?
Yeah, no.
Silly.
Too messy.
Oh, we better take a quick break. Wayne, you forgot to give me the high sign. Not that I would have probably blown you off anyway. He doesn't know us that well yet.
Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll talk about chalkboards.
Oh, my God.
Scratchy noises?
Exactly. We're here at We the People Radio with our friend Rick Frost. We're talking about the Data Quality Act. So for all the crazy, quote-unquote, science that creates policy that is enslaving us at the moment, we're going to find out how it should be done.
We'll be back.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingraham from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Just like the movies, we've got mail. Yeah, onion grower, he left his mail in our mailbox here. So I've got it.
Man, we're somebody.
I haven't looked at it yet, but I've got it.
We're on the board now. We got mail.
We've got mail.
Yeah.
All right. You're back with We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. That voice you hear in the background is our guest, Mr. Rick Frost, talking about the Data Quality Act. This gets down into the environmental policy that people are so frustrated about, and they want to know, what do we do about a zillion acres of red-legged frog habitat and the ever-mushrooming problem of the spotted owl and the coho salmon and all these things, and wherever you live, you've got stuff like this going on, too. There are supposed to be checks and balances on that. Mr. Frost, this is where you butt in and you say, yeah, like.
Well, my first question is, like, why is it on radios we say we are back instead of we're front? Or we're here?
Well, we could theoretically, since we're on radio, be wherever the heck we want to be.
That's right. Wherever the heck we want to say.
I'm laying on my back.
We could be scurrying around.
And you know what's fun, too, is with a new engineer, you can say pretty much anything because by the time he gets to the button,
it's too late now. Wayne's like, oh, crap, they didn't tell me I had to be on the button.
I'm going
to
get tested.
Yeah.
So have at it, Rick.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyhow, the problem is once these actions go into place, it's very hard to undo them. And it's up to the businesses or a county or a state or individuals to take the agencies to court to undo the damage, you know. I mean, take, for example, the coho salmon. In the whole debacle of getting the dams removed from the Klamath River, they had brought in a scientist, Dr. Hauser, right? And Dr. Hauser has an impeccable history with NASA and being a very sound scientist in the true sense. So they brought him in to be the manager of the data in terms of how it was being used and things like this, and also on the peer review process. He found out that the scientists and the agencies were pushing for a decision alternative number 10 in the dam removal. And he says that's the worst possible scenario because it has the least amount of science to make the decision. So he wrote and complained and actually became a whistleblower on the situation of the science that was being ignored on the salmon and on the river. So they fired him. And then he came out and he wrote a huge thing explaining and exposing the whole deal. Two key points on that is that, number one, they left out and intentionally ignored the information that said the salmon were not native, nor were they indigenous to the rivers of Northern California, because in the 1890s, the then California Department of Game had, and some miners, had worked together to transport eggs that had been collected in the rivers of Oregon and move them south and put them in the spawning headwaters of the Klamath throughout the entire system. And then when the fry came out, they were already conditioned to the smells of the Klamath River, so that when they came back to spawn 2 years later, they would smell the Klamath River and go up in there. And that is, excuse me, sorry.
Bless you.
Sneezing. And that is what caused this annual return of the cohos and to those creeks.
And that actually took several tries before they got any to actually live long enough to come back. I mean, that wasn't a one-shot deal. That took some doing.
That took several years, okay? And at that same time is when the miners and others were bringing leopard frogs from the south into California, okay? Because what they were trying to do is that miners are not ranchers and farmers. They are not food producers, typically. They're kind of like not smart that way. And that's not saying anything against them. It's like, I don't expect a lawyer to go be a banker, okay? It's just, you know, that's their skill level. That's just the reality. So they brought in the frogs and the fish to create a stable, long-term food source for the inhabitants of the region, because some of them, you know, there's some regions that they just can't farm. They're too busy looking for stuff, gold, whatever. And so this was all part of a huge effort to bring a stable food source to California. It had nothing to do with, let's go save the whale, you know. So the other thing that they left out is this thing called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. And what that is that El Nino, which is not a human-driven climate phenomena, it comes in and it changes the temperatures of the water for periods of time. That cold and heat changes at the mouth of the rivers, and they, during the Klamath study, identified that the salmon runs are dependent on the temperatures of the water going into the rivers. And if the temperatures are too warm, the fish would not go up and spawn. Okay? And so that decadal oscillation will also have another factor in determining the number of fish going in and out of a river every season. And what the scientists and the environment groups did is, like, in the years that the salmon were not coming back, they ignored the Pacific decadal oscillation. And they're saying, oh, the reason we didn't have fish come this year is because the farmers and ranchers and businesses upstream were impacting their spawning. And so then they took those two key pieces of data out of the Klamath River decision. They fired Dr. Hauser, and I think he's down in Florida somewhere now teaching at a university.
Well, that's what happens when you get the wrong results.
Yeah. And then they went forward and they put this thing into place, and now they've made it so large, they're waiting for congressional approval to remove the dams. And so now Congress has been misled on the science of things to make a bad decision, okay? And that is something that is the Data Quality Act is trying to fix, is scenarios much like that one.
So if they've jumped over the data to arrive at their own conclusions for their own, I'm just going to say, nefarious needs,
I'd say pernicious. I wouldn't even say nefarious. I'd say pernicious.
Let's say nefarious and pernicious. I like it. And what's the other one? Obsequious. Oh, no, that's just a Steve Martin word.
Yeah.
Tedentious. Try tedentious.
Oh, I like that one, too. You've joined the Vocabulary Hour. Thank you for calling.
We can still say crap, too.
Oh, Bill brought us back to reality. So once all this stuff's been skipped and you need to get the data back in, all the data that they have, we'll just say, ignored.
Well, there you go.
They ignored it on purpose.
You got to go back into court?
How do you get the data back in?
You got to go to court.
God dang it. But don't you have to have somebody who's, you know, don't you get into that whole thing of who's been injured and blah, blah, blah?
Well, see, that's the problem. Until you've been injured, you can't go to court.
Yeah, it's right? What I was thinking.
It's real funny because on one hand, these ologists are using the precautionary principle saying something might happen, and so therefore we have to do this to ourselves and impose these draconian regulations and restrictions on ourselves because of something that might happen, but yet, and they will impose these things on us, but yet you and I cannot go to court and challenge their decision or their actions until we've been harmed. So
right.
We are not allowed the precautionary principle to sue or go to court on something that may occur.
Gets back to the whole computer modeling data that they use for a lot of this environmental stuff that is never verified or proven. It's just a model.
So they
and at the same time, on that thread, they don't just mess up the model. They pick and choose what time segment they get to model and represent. Because if, like, take for example the global warming issue. If you go back 18 years, there's been no rise in temperatures, okay? But I can go inside that 18 years and I can find 5-year segments that's got an incredible upswing. And I can base my whole model on that incredible upswing and I can ignore what happened before. Now, if you take that same data set and you go back several hundred years, you will find that we are probably one of the coolest periods, and we're fixing to get much cooler because there is a 100,000-year glacial cycle of which 90,000 years are ice age and 10,000 years are temperate the ice.
That's funny you mentioned that because yesterday I was watching a video that was a compilation of news stories about extreme weather around the world in the last year, and it was probably a 15-minute video of short segments of tornadoes and floods and hurricanes and all this stuff. And, you know, after you watch that, it's pretty compelling that, yeah, we got a big weather problem here. Things are really changing. But that's what they do. They give you one side of the story.
I think we call that hype where I come from.
Yeah, you call it more than that, but... But
Bill's going to say crap again.
That's what they do. They take the stories that work to support their viewpoint, and they put it out. And I guess if they're the first ones to the table, then everybody else has to fight to get it removed.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So does the Data Quality Act have any teeth? I mean, can anyone is this something when it was passed – that has any sort of a recourse, I guess, if they're not following
it? It does not. That's one of the problems with it. It does not have any recourse. It just orders the agencies to use outside organizations for the peer review processes and ensure that the data is treated in a pure scientific manner without political inference.
Well, it's too bad they can't... take these guys that are putting this phony information in there and say, hey, look, if you say put bad information in the system more than a couple of times, we can't use your information anymore. I mean, that would slow them down a little bit.
Well, but it wouldn't really stop the problem, which is the impacts to communities and humans after
right.
the decisions are made.
Right.
Sure, because you still have all the phony science driving the bus and making the rules.
Well, you still have these guys going back basing decisions on personal communications that can't be researched.
Sure. Or their own.
I can,
Or they're an interpretation of data that they can't reproduce in, they can't.
Yeah, or they cut segments of data out that don't correspond to what they want to see, such as Michael Mann, climate Scientologist from, and I call him a Scientologist because I don't think he's a scientist. that he's this guy from that actually ignored, he got caught ignoring information for his model on purpose because it just didn't correspond. He's the one that was the author of the famous hockey stick graph.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Now, is he the one that had the phony?
No, that's Dr. Tran.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy here in California on the California Air Resources Board.
Didn't have the doctor he said he had.
Yeah, he was fake. Yeah, he was a fake scientist.
But they kept his information because,
you know. And they kept him. And they're still paying him.
Oh, that's right. But, you know, his information's still being used and being used to base a lot of this silliness on.
Again,
that'd be like Dr. Henson from NASA, formerly of NASA.
Formerly of NASA. Actually, we could make a lot of jokes about that. We need to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. Am I right, Wayne? I get the thumbs up on that one. We don't know what he has planned for us, but we're excited about it. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes here at We the People. Join us on the chat room, wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll chat about something.
All right.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your radio station. On Monday, we welcome and join the magazine, and we talk about all the great things that are happening in the North State during this next month. We're also going to be talking about Ebola and what's happening along the border. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it.
Experience history like never before. Reading Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2014, October 3rd through 5th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, and the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. Reading Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2014, October 3rd through 5th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For more information, call 225-8979.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
We told Wayne, hey, you can play you like music about lies. There's probably some stuff out there.
Yeah.
Another quality song about lying. You have rejoined We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Our guest is Rick Frost this morning, and we're talking about something that probably a lot of people don't know. It's called the Data Quality Act. Hey, Mr. Frost, when was the Data Quality Act passed?
It was passed back in the 1990s.
Like the early part or the late part?
I'd have to pull it up and look. I think I'm going to say in the early 90s.
Okay, so it's been around for a while. At the beginning, yeah. Did it work?
Well, no one understood what it was.
Okay. You know? Oh, there's my
and,
answer.
And it took a while before the industries and the people were able to figure out, it's like, okay, let's see if what we can find. And so they started investigating actions, current actions. They didn't go into past actions. They were investigating current actions. And they attempted, the Competitive Enterprise Institute filed a lawsuit, and it went all the way up, I think, to the Supreme Court, and they did not win their case to force an agency back to the drawing board to open up their books and include the science. That's that black box, you know, they managed to keep that black box closed. However, since that time, there have been at least two more that I'm aware of, lawsuits filed that are ongoing right now in an attempt to open up the black box. So we're basically dealing with something that is a law that was passed, I'm going to say, roughly 20 years ago. You know, actually, maybe not even that. Yeah, it's about 20 years.
Well, I'll bet you the environmentalists knew the implications of that law and knew how they could twist it around and use it.
Well, but see, what they twist around is the Administrative Procedures Act. Because if you go back through all the lawsuits that the environmentalists have filed, I think there's maybe 1-2% of the litigated cases over endangered species and other environmental concerns. They were not won based on science. They were won based on how the agency failed in the procedures for filing data, making their decisions, and it was all based on the Administrative Act process. So they're not getting busted and sued over science. They're getting sued over their failure to follow procedures.
Hmm.
Okay, so I hate to put you on the spot, but like, give us an example.
Well, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Spotted owl.
Oh, good. We love to we love to fight the spotted owl.
They came in and the agencies, I'll use New Mexico because I'm very familiar with that case, right? Forest Service came in and said, we need to put a ban on logging for 5 years in this region here in New Mexico. And actually, it was throughout all of the forest region. I think it's region 3, which includes Arizona. And they turn around and said, we need a 5-year study to figure out what these owls are doing. And so, therefore, we need to stop logging. Well, you know, loggers have families. They've got mouths to feed. They've got homes to pay for. You know, no one's going to sit around for 5 years on their thumbs waiting for someone to make decisions saying they can go to work or raise their kids. So, you know, these logging families moved. They left. And after 5 years, they found out, say, oh, we don't need to, have these draconian impositions on there because we figured out that the owls were actually okay. And so then they say, okay, everyone go back to logging. Well, by then the loggers have moved away and there's the forests were, in 5 years, also accumulated a huge amount of biomass. There's no one there to harvest the trees or remove the biomass for economic purposes. And so the thing catches on fire and everything burns down. But what happens is that when they tried to lift or they go and have logging contracts, things like that, the environmentals get involved and they say, well, you failed to follow this process, and you failed to follow that process, and you failed to follow the process for designating critical habitat and stuff. And so the Forest Guardians and the Center for Biological Perversity, and the Charcoal Guardians, whatever they want to call themselves these days, you know, they continue suing on failure to follow procedures, and they win at that level. And so, therefore, they keep the restrictions and they keep logging contracts from being enacted on the ground,
And then everything catches on fire, and you spend five times the economic value of the timber on trying to put the fire out and not collect any economic viability from the resource in the end anyway.
See, I knew we could turn you into a flamethrower before long. See, you're all awake now. We'll be back. We've got Mr. Frost as our hostage for the next hour, and we're not allowing him to hang up, so we'll know where he is. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You're here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Redding.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Alone, many Americans are expressing concern about the appearance of the deadly disease in Dallas. But the head of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Anthony Fauci, makes a guarantee on Fox News this morning.
West Africa is not the United States. Unfortunately, those people there, because of the weaknesses of their health system, are having an outbreak. That won't happen. It could be we'll see another case, but we won't have an outbreak.
Meanwhile, the man in Dallas with Ebola is now in critical condition. A former Obama administration official is blaming the White House for not keeping U.S. troops in Iraq after combat ended in 2011. Here's SRN's Greg Clugston.
Former Defense Secretary and CIA Director Leon Panetta says he warned President Obama and others that if Iraq split apart and slid back into violence, it could become a new haven for terrorists to plot attacks against the U.S. In a new book, Panetta writes that the president's team at the White House pushed back on requests to keep some troops in Iraq. He says the differences occasionally became heated. Excerpts from Panetta's new book were published by Time magazine. Greg Clugston, SRN News, the White House.
There is still no sign of that University of Virginia student who disappeared 3 weeks ago.
The parents of Hannah Graham are appealing for whoever is responsible to help them find their daughter. A 32-year-old Charlottesville man, Jesse Leroy Matthew Jr., has been charged by authorities with abduction with intent to defile and the disappearance of Hannah Graham. Gordon Griffin, SRN News.
Authorities say a car that crashed into a Southern California donut shop last night killed one person and injured four others. The L.A. Times says the injured in the crash are in critical or serious condition. Miami police say a car plowed into seven people sitting in a pizza parlor last night. Nobody was badly hurt. This is SRN News.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now 1-800-299-2896. 1-800-299-2896. That's 1-800-299-2896.
Despite gains made by pro-Russian parties, Latvia's ruling center-right coalition parties have won a majority of seats in a parliamentary election dominated by security issues and the crisis in Ukraine. With 98% of votes counted, the opposition pro-Russian Harmony Party won the most votes in Saturday's election with 23%, while the three Western-oriented government parties had 56% of the vote. The result means the ruling coalition will have at least 61 seats in the 100-member parliament, an unassailable advantage. South Korea's president is cracking down on rumors in cyberspace in a campaign that threatens the popularity of KKO Talk, the leading social media service in a country with ambitions to become a global tech leader. Prosecutors announced the crackdown 2 weeks ago after the president complained about insults directed at her and false rumors that, quote, divided the society. This is SRN News. Cuba's central bank chief is giving new details on the elimination of a special currency.
The elimination of the convertible peso is one of the toughest challenges facing Cuba's struggling socialist economy. It's forcing officials to eliminate a distorted double set of prices for many goods without spawning inflation. The shift will require placing more Cuban pesos into circulation and issuing higher denomination bills. The convertible peso, used largely in the tourism sector, is also used by Cubans to purchase many goods long unavailable in local currency.
SRN's Jeremy House reporting. A U.S. Airways flight from New York to Charlotte, North Carolina, was delayed at LaGuardia Airport because live crabs had gotten loose in the cargo hold. An airline spokesman says it's unclear how the fairly small crustaceans escaped from their container. There were a lot of them, she says. The airline carries various cargo shipments along with the passengers' luggage. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We are from the government, and we're here to help.
Words that every citizen fears.
We'll just go to our trunk and pull out a sign for any occasion.
Exactly. We've got data. It just doesn't happen to be accurate. So, you've rejoined We the People Radio for Hour 2. Today we're talking about scientific integrity. Actually, we're talking about the lack of scientific integrity in our agencies and a lot of the policies that are affecting folks all over the place.
And don't worry about where we get our data. Just trust me, it's good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, for the people who live in, who don't live in rural areas, let's just say that, they're not involved in farming or ranching, and they're not impacted by all this endangered species stuff. You are impacted by it because this makes the cost of everything higher. When your farmers and your ranchers and all those guys, when they can't get their job done because you've either taken their land or you've regulated the heck out of them or you've cost them a fortune, it makes the price of everything go through the roof. All you have to do is go to the grocery store and you'll see what's happening.
Hey, you know what? They're doing amazing things with soy nowadays. You know, you don't really need milk or anything.
It's
of
not
that.
Affecting the tofu production.
That's right.
Where does that
come
from?
I like food that introduces itself.
That's
soy milk.
Soy, that's right.
Yeah.
Ever tried it? Don't knock it. It's not
well,
good.
Well, see, it actually, I think it helps with the immigration issue. So that folks are coming up here from, you know, Spanish-speaking countries, they can, like, they'll see soy, meaning this is, and then milk or whatever. You know?
That's right. This is milk. This is hamburger. This is turkey.
Good one.
Now I get it.
You know what? I'm going to look at food in a whole new way.
Yeah.
What does tofu mean? Does that mean anything?
Oh, stinky.
It means don't touch.
Besides yucky. You know, I read a thing one time. The guy said, you know, why is it tofu, like, and it's, like, tastes like chicken or tastes like whatever. Why doesn't anything taste like tofu? Why don't they ever have chicken that's tofu flavored?
Well, I really have never tasted my toast. So I don't think I want to have that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, tofu, they say, takes on the flavor of whatever you're cooking. Well, what's the point?
Exactly. Why don't you just cook that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we digress. But let's go back to the lack of scientific integrity. And you were talking about the fires. We were chatting about how a lot of this policy turns up with, what was it, the what are you calling them? The group of charcoal briquette watchers, or
the charcoal guardians, or the Center for Biological Perversity?
Yeah, I like that, biological perversity, because that's really what it is. And those guys have huge clout. I don't know if people realize, but they weighed in. Let's see, what was going to be taken off the list was the longhorn beetle, something or other.
Something like staghorn beetle, something like that.
Yeah, it's some kind of longhorn beetle that nobody would miss. And it was going to be taken off the endangered species list, finally. But the Center for Biological Diversity fired up a letter and you can't do that. And oh, okay, we won't.
Yeah, they backed right off. They didn't want. They, didn't, ended they that. Didn't want that fight.
They said they had too much public input. Huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you see, but there again, you got public input, and it's like, how is that scientific? An opinion is opinion. It's not a fact.
Well, and it was one public opinion. Like, it wasn't a lot of it. There was no, there were no other options.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's the problem, is much of this data is opinion, and not fact. They don't have to come up with how they arrived at their conclusions. And when it's the same people enforcing the rules, making the rules, you're kind of doomed from the get-go.
Yeah. Or you know, going back to this issue about taking species off the list,
sure.
You know, but let's go to the bald eagle, right? The bald eagle, some years ago, they were, you know, advocating for taking it off the list and everything, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service head, and I can't remember her name, I want to say Jamie Clark, I think that was her. Anyhow, she was out there jumping up and down about how this was the bald eagle coming off the list as a classic case of the success of the ESA. And then scientists came out and are saying that is total BS, because the fact that the eagle is coming off the endangered species list and its survival and everything is due to the EPA banning DDT. Okay, the National Wilderness Institute brought this out, you know, NWI, and they actually published on the number of species that have either been erroneously listed to begin with because the science was flawed, or that the species has continued to be listed because the science is flawed, and that anything that was coming off the list is due for reasons not related to any activity based on EPA ESA projects. You know, no endangered species projects ever created the survival of any species. And that's what the NWI report came out, and I'm going to say 1999, maybe 2000 it came out.
Well, I'm thinking that when a critter gets on the endangered species list, that tells me that no matter where you go in the world, you're not going to find one of these animals because they're endangered. They're very rare. You're not they're not where they used to be. Well, in the case of the bald eagle, it was more of a regional thing, and in a lot of cases, it was never there to start with.
Exactly.
The bald eagle, if you, I don't know how many folks out there have been to Alaska, but they're like seagulls up there. You go to the coast, yeah, and they're sitting on every pier piling as far as you can see. There's thousands of bald eagles. You can't go anywhere without seeing them. That tells me they're not endangered. But because they don't, fly freely in the middle of the Sacramento Valley where there's nothing for them to eat, they're now endangered. And
yeah.
I don't know how they get away with that. It can't be a regional thing.
The Endangered Species Act, the way it's been construed by regulations inside the agency and through critical habitat, is allowing environmentals, or should I say environmentals, to sue based on the chance that something might occupy a region because the habitat there is conducive to support. Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can even extend the thing like, oh, well, I'm in Pennsylvania. I haven't seen a bald eagle in my entire life, so therefore they're rare.
And that's how it gets passed. I mean, people in San Francisco go, I haven't seen a bald eagle here. I've lived here my whole life. They've been gone. They've been exterminated.
Well, let's take that logic out one more step.
Okay.
They're trying to bring wolves into the Sierra Nevadas, okay?
Oh, God,
and they're
yes.
targeting Lake Tahoe and Yosemite. And this is ongoing right now.
Sure.
And I think they had a hearing in Sacramento back in December on this. You know, they've been going around different places and holding hearings. They haven't really had hearings here in Nevada, right? And believe me, once those wolves get into the Sierra Nevadas, they will be coming over into Nevada because they don't read boundaries or signs or anything. They just go where they're going to go. And all the Mustang people here that are so enamored with horses are now going to get to witness wolves in action outside Virginia City here in Story County.
I think that's exactly what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen with these folks, is they need to see why there aren't wolves in certain areas, why you don't have wolves in Golden Gate Park. They don't belong there.
Let's bring the grizzly backs and put them in Golden Gate.
Hey, they're already talking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but wait, what about my favorite? The bridge over the Ventura Freeway, it's a walkway that they're going to build. Caltrans is doing it for mountain lions.
Yeah, because they always use those designated crosswalks.
Just in case they eat all the little kids on the north side of the Ventura Freeway.
And if they're confused, there's a sign that says lion crossing, and they'll pay attention to that.
You can't hunt the neighborhoods appropriately if you can't get across the freeway.
Right.
So are they printing the guide signs in lion language?
Yes. And they're lacing it with tofu that tastes like people.
Chicken.
Well, I'm glad all those rich people there can afford to send their kids to lion school.
Well, but you're right, Rick. I mean, this whole Nevada thing is with the wolves. I mean, that's what these people need to see is like the horses getting decimated, which, from what I've read, wouldn't hurt anything because they're actually destroying the landscape. There's so many of them, but I think that's what needs to happen is go ahead and put them out there and then let's see what happens and see how they like that.
Well, you know, and here's another situation that I actually dealt with, and I didn't uncover this until I had worked at this place for 4.5 years. Okay. The Paiute Indians have a sucker fish that's been listed as endangered, Fiquiwi. Okay, it's out here at Pyramid Lake, east of Reno. And I was managing the irrigation district 4.5 years, and what I uncovered is every year we would have to go through and to operate the irrigation facilities. We had to do the biological opinion and all this other stuff on how we're going to put our screens in place to keep these spawning adult kiwi from getting trapped and killed in the irrigation fields, blah, blah, blah. And one thing I started realizing after doing these repeatedly is like, yes, they're endangered, but why are we not listing a target population? Because the Endangered Species Act mantra is recovery. And so part of recovery is that you list goalposts that show you are achieving success for the expenditure and for the endangered listing, right?
That's a little bit of correction from the NSA.
Yeah, they and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service get millions of dollars a year for managing this sucker fish. It has no commercial viability, okay? it's a mudfish. And so what happens is that I discovered that you guys are not listing a population target to even have it set to pull it down to threatened. Well, it turns out after investigating that if you don't list the species, then this thing will continue into perpetuity as endangered. Well, we had a very, very heavy snow year. I'm going to say 3-4 years ago. We had 220% snowpack here in the Sierra Nevadas. We had such a volume of water coming down on the Truckee River that we had one of the most incredible spawning runs ever of the kiwi, and we had almost 1 million spawning adults cross the Marble Dam, which is the checkpoint that they have a $11 million elevator that lifts these fish up so that they can be turned loose and go to spawn in the upper habitats, because over the years the river had cut itself down so far that it was damaging things. So he put in this big dam with this elevator so that for 2 weeks out of the year, they spend all this money lifting these adult fish up 20 feet so they can, you know, swim into the upper stretches, and then they all swim back in. They're not like salmon. Once they spawn, they go back, and they can live up to 50, 60 years. They don't have to come in every year. Mm. But nevertheless, we had 1 million, it was 940-something thousand spawning adults that came across that year. And to me, that would signal a recovery, that you should at least go back and reduce the threat. But because there's no population listed as required per the ESA, they can sit there and continue with this millions of dollars flowing into the tribe and into the Fish and Wildlife Service agency for managing the species that is far beyond recovery. It's stable.
And then we put that data out there and take them off the list?
Well, that's just it, you know. How are we going to turn around? And then this is just one example. This is just one isolated example. This is occurring everywhere across the nation, you know. And it's like, how go in there and stop this thing? Well, the citizens or an organization have to take them to court to undo the whole thing. There's no watchdog agency out there inside the government that's going to turn around and ensure that this stuff is being followed up on and it's being enacted in a sound scientific manner. And that is a huge problem. But there again, do we want another regulating agency inside the government?
Yeah, because we don't have enough of those.
You know?
Yeah, we're running low. Hey, we'd better take a really quick break, or we'll have them all at the top of the hour. Not that that isn't fun, but kind of kills the banter here. We're going to come back with Rick Frost. We're going to talk about more bad environmental policy and how we got there. And
let's talk Richard Windsor.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Is he related to the Duke? Oh, that's different.
That's different.
Well, someone wants to duke somebody because of it.
All right. We'll pick that up.
It's Rabbit Trail Sunday with Aaron and Bill. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Reading Electric Utility celebrates National Public Power Week, October 5th through the 11th. Hello, this is Jeff Granberry with REU. Please join me and all REU employees as we celebrate National Public Power Week. REU has been locally owned by the citizens of Reading and operated by the City of Reading for 93 years. REU is proud of our history and even more excited about our future. We're a major employer. We are your family. We are your friends. We are your neighbors. We are you. On behalf of the more than 160 men and women at REU, thank you for your business and for supporting your community-owned utility, REU.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Do have an appetite, that's for sure.
Excellent.
So, Rick, talk to us about...
No, wait. I have one more wolf thing.
Oh, you do?
Honestly, at that hearing where they, where the Fish and Game Commission decided to list the wolves as
an endangered
species.
That's the one where they
all
wore the funny wolf hats and were crying and singing songs.
It was just repulsive.
Yeah.
But there was a lady there who got up there with her kids, and she begged them to endanger the wolf because she wants her three-year-old to have the ability to meet one face-to-face in his backyard.
That'll be a quick meeting.
And it was like, I know, Wayne's sitting here with his mouth open. Yes, she said that in public, on CNN, no less. Yeah.
Well,
and so you look at it and you think, okay, we're just dealing in large part with crazy people.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have
well,
to
Well, if you ever go to one of those meetings, I mean, you look at the crowd. I mean, it's embarrassing, but that's who supports these things. It's the back to nature, nuts and fruit, I mean, Fruit Loop people that show up at these meetings. It's and you know what? When they have these meetings, that's another thing that blows my mind is these environmentalists, if they ever do have a meeting, when they all leave, they leave so much garbage and trash on the ground. It looks like a city garbage truck fell over and the wind blew it around. I mean, they are the worst.
Yeah, didn't their big global warming march in New York City just turn into a?
It was a trash heap when they left. Yeah.
And then Al Gore left in a huge SUV.
Yeah,
and to go fly in his jet.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to know what's the carbon footprint of getting 300,000 people to New York to protest the global warming.
Yeah,
exactly.
The cost of cleaning up the mess. That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to me.
So sorry,
you didn't see that mess when the Tea Party people went and protested in D.C. peacefully.
No,
right. Well, the reason you didn't see it was because they refused to report on it.
Well, yeah, but the reports you did see, you didn't see one scrap of paper on the ground. I mean, you're right. It was a totally different deal. But you know, you don't hear about that. She's right.
Well, you see, this changes around.
Okay.
If I'm a Democrat and I leave trash on the ground, I just created a job.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
For a garbage collector. Yes. So I'm helping the little guy.
That's right.
You care about the middle class, then?
Oh.
Did you fleece a part of the 1%, though? Because that's part of it, too. You got to do that.
Yeah. Got to do that.
So tell us about Mr. Windsor.
Well, the... I want to say Chris Horn. There's a third organization that actually filed, and actually it was through the Judicial Watch, if I'm not mistaken, filed a FOIA requesting all of the EPA emails from the head of the then EPA. And her name escapes me right now. I want to say Jennifer. I can't say that for certain. They found that she had a parallel email system where she was actually holding conversations with EPA administrators and environment groups outside the government email system. So therefore, there was no way for anyone in the government to track the communications. Well, upon the FOIA and the data that was collected from the FOIA, it was discovered that this individual was using an alias by the name of Richard Windsor, which was the name of her dog.
That's right.
And that was her avatar for the email that she was using to talk to all these various groups. Well, once that came out, then there was a demand by Congress for hearings. Not Congress, but the agency in charge of investigation threw some softball questions at various people that they had discovered from the EPA that were linked to this Richard Windsor scandal, one of them being Jared Blumenfeld, who is now the head of Region 9 EPA based in San Francisco. So this is all, you know, Nevada, California, West Coast, Hawaii, things like that. And he had extensive email conversations with her throughout this extra legal system as well. And when they question him, he says, oh, well, I was just telling them about, you know, this environment meeting here or this meeting there, or I was saying, here, go look at this. And he completely got busted by, I think it's Congressman Issa. He accused the IGA, I think it was, the organization that did the investigation, or IGPO, I can't remember. There's a document on it. You can find it out online. And he says, you guys intentionally softballed these questions, and you didn't ask the harder questions. And he basically accused Jared of Blumenfeld of lying to the investigators and not being nailed for anything. Well, As a result of the whole investigation, the head of the EPA resigned, and Blumenfeld is still in office. And what's even more interesting is if you go back and investigate him and many of the other EPA administrators, you know, like Region 6, Region 1, whatever, you'll find the majority of them went in terms of, like, and I say this to understand who is it that is at the heads of these departments running things. When you investigate these people, you'll find the majority of them went to the London School of Economics that was followed by time in Harvard. And these people that are at the heads of these administrations are not scientists, they are lawyers. And so they are trained in English riparian law, and then they get put into positions in Western Spanish prior appropriation law and land property states, everything west of the 100th meridian, and through regulatory creep, these individuals are able to steer the regulations of the EPA into the English riparian system of laws and regulations, which is a complete abrogation of the Spanish law and Western water law here of prior appropriation. And they're doing this without congressional oversight or anybody questioning or stopping them. And so now we've got this big issue with the EPA pushing to declare all waters as waters of the United States in clear violation of the original intent of Congress, the definition of navigable waters as established by the Supreme Court over many, many cases going back to 1836, actually 1832. And so here we have, by regulation, without congressional oversight, these agencies, the EPA, imposing regulations, bypassing Congress, pushing everything back towards the rule of the crown of England, which I find most interesting.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and how does all this, you know, it blows my mind that they're able to quietly organize this kind of behind the scenes and get everything in place, and there's nobody smart enough on the other side to start ringing the bell before it's all in place. And then once it's in place, then people start screaming. But it kind of makes people look foolish that they didn't do something before now and allowed all this to be, you know, put in place before it was too late.
Well, they're circumventing the checks and balances established by the original intent of our founding fathers.
Exactly, but that was the whole plan from the very beginning. This isn't something that just happened to, you know, fall together. I mean, they've been planning this for a long time, and now they're finally in a position where they can start implementing this craziness, people are totally caught with their britches down on this, and it's really hard. We're always fighting an uphill battle because
yeah.
we don't jump on this stuff before it's too late.
Well, you know, it's what do you say? You know, now all of a sudden you've put yourself into the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist.
Exactly.
And they can marginalize you
because you're outnumbered.
The edge as irrelevant.
Right. I just, you know, if the House and the Senate and the presidency all flip, can you imagine a house cleaning that could take place with all these department heads and all these appointees being removed? And that's really what it's going to take is a massive house cleaning to get some of this stuff turned around. Unfortunately, the laws are the laws now. We're going to have to live with them. I don't know if we can actually go back and turn back the clock and get rid of these laws.
Well, we can actually knock them down to where their impact is less, that we can at least achieve that. If we can turn back the clock, well, that's going to take an act of the Supreme Court deciding
exactly.
that the decision
and
was unconstitutional, which means once it's declared unconstitutional, that means any action conducted under that act back to its inception can be revoked.
And
but there again, you got to go to court.
And
right.
that would be fantastic. Can you imagine?
And the judges are all kind of on board with this whole plan, too. I mean, when you start looking at the Ninth Circuit, the Supreme Court is just about out of balance right now. But, I mean, there again, this all kind of just fell into place magically.
Yeah. And all of that is not based on science.
No.
These are all judicial decisions.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
So to get the scientific integrity back in some of these systems, let's go back to that a little bit when we return. I just realized it's 25 till. Better take a quick break. Thank our advertisers. See what Wayne has in store for us on the piano over there. Play it, Wayne. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, Rip, so drops. You've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Springwater. Pure and simple. Naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Hear us streaming 24-7 on KCNR1460.com.
Makes you wonder when kids get out of school nowadays, are they going to get into science?
I love the science song. I don't know why it's
kooks.
So funny. Science! Hey, so Bob Martin, although he is in the hospital hanging out, he's listening to the radio. Imagine that. Go, Bob. Get better. Hey, he shot me an article here. Mr. Frost, I'll be sending it to you. Federal judge rules in favor of Texas comptroller in lawsuit regarding Dunes sagebrush brush lizard.
Yeah,
See, we have criminals walking the streets, but we're fighting in court about the Dunes sagebrush lizard. And I'm sure it was going to ruin somebody's life because here we go. It says the decision comes as a huge victory for the Texas Conservation Plan. The comptroller was instrumental in developing this plan, worked with a broad group of stakeholders, including private property owners, oil and gas companies, agricultural interests, ooh, biologists, and state and federal agencies to provide protection for the dunes sagebrush lizard while allowing continue. Hey, now here's the novel part. This is the confusing part for the agencies. While allowing continued economic activity, hey, in a region that accounts for 57% of Texas's total crude oil production. So I'm sure that the dune sagebrush lizard listing by the Defenders of Wildlife, the Center for Biological Diversity.
Well, I was wondering when somebody was going to bring that up, because I have not seen one of those lizards around here for a long time.
I'm sure that when you're encroaching on 57% of the oil
production.
We've
got to do something about that.
A hot one.
Yeah. This whole capitalism thing is getting out of hand.
Exactly.
If our sagebrush lizards aren't going to make it.
You 1% hater.
The NWF organization that you mentioned?
Yeah.
I think that is where Jamie Clark going after she left the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Oh, that's great.
I think she went there, either that or the WWF. I think it's NWF.
Yeah, she was rewarded for her good work.
She's swinging a chair, chair at somebody wearing tights now? Or is there another WWF?
No, the wrong WWF there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the other one.
That's the other one.
I was excited about it there for a second. Yeah.
No throwing folding chairs.
She was having a bad hair day and throwing chairs?
No.
Okay. All right. Mr. Frost?
Anyhow.
Yeah. So, you know, what can people do about this? We always ask that, even though there's really no answer.
Well, you can get involved, and you can raise your voice, and you can make comments, and you can be there. And then if your decision is ignored or whatever, that gives even stronger ground as a community and as an individual to mount a campaign to undo things. But what we have a problem is that the agencies will typically say, well, that issue's not relevant or something like that. And so during the process, they kick it out. The other thing they do is during the decision-making process is that they'll group you all on these tables, then they stick these charts on the walls, then they put out certain things that people want to see done based on opinion, not science, and then you each get a 3-colored dots, and you get to go up there and you stick those dots next to the ones that you'd like to see happen. And so out of these focus workshop groups, those are how the decisions are made. They're not based on science. They're just based on what we'd like to see happen. Okay.
I love those little Delphi technique meetings. And
that's exactly what it is. And if you have any dissenters that try to raise their voice about what about the property rights, well, they actually have people trained to sit in the audience lead the group, typically the group leaders. They will find ways to marginalize or discount that person as irrelevant, and therefore their concerns and issues are never addressed in the final documents.
I went to one of those, and they made me sit with all the global warming people.
Yeah, and like in the Wolf meetings that you just cited, if you try to go and talk on the side of science or on the side of harm to communities and stuff, the other side will literally engage in a blatant shouting match, yelling and screaming to prevent you from talking, okay? So there again, the yelling and screaming, it's not about science. It's not about listening to the other side. It's about you're going to do this or we're going to scream and yell and beat our fists on the ground and flail around like angry little kids that are not getting our way until you capitulate and listen to us or at least give us a banana so we can go away.
True story. Well, have you seen any examples where the science has been restored? Has any of that started yet?
Not yet. People are waking up, you know, and it's taking industry groups like the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the one that Lawrence Kogan is with, the IDTTS, the Technical Standards Industry out of New Jersey. It's taking Judicial Watch. It's taking high-end organizations with good money clout that have the ability to endure going to litigation, you know, and people are pushing back and they're trying to push the science on things, but it's a difficult process because the the non-science track is so entrenched, it's very difficult to get out institutional corruption at this point. You know, one of them, for example, take the sage grouse. They're now currently trying to get the sage grouse listed as endangered throughout the West, you know. And what one of the problems that's coming around is, like, they've discovered that it's not the cows and it's not the mining that is hurting the sage grouse. It is crows and ravens. They steal their eggs. The Fish and Wildlife Service, everybody identifies it's the crows that are destroying and hurting the sage grouse. But yet they're pushing to get impositions and restrictions on the lands that people operate on in favor of sage grouse endangered habitat, even though the economic activity has nothing to do with the reason why there's an alleged decline in sage grouse habitat. So they're totally ignoring the crow thing. Well, you can't go after the crows. Why? Because they're listed as endangered too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're a congressman over there in Nevada. He schooled us on that sage grouse thing. He said they are not sage grouse; they are sage hens.
That's important. That's an important.
We call that a distinction without a difference at this point. But it is.
Well, I guess Harry Reid would be a sage grouse.
Well, if they're sage hens, are they all female?
Well, that's what we said. He said, actually, we should be calling them sage hens because that would do a lot to diminish the war on women.
It is. I see there again.
We were in a big meeting with
that together.
Yes, with the Bureau of Land Management. He got quite a bit of mileage out of that. He's a pretty funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they were furious. There were tons of ranchers at that meeting and talking about their grazing rights being impinged. And the other part of it is the wild horses over there on the California, Nevada, you know, in that area up there, Modoc and Lassen counties. The wild horse thing is a huge problem.
Massive.
But they don't want to do anything about that.
Well, no, but they want the ranchers that own the allotments and own the forage and the water to continue being paid, you know, continue getting to support the horses without compensation for takings, you know. And some of the areas with the horses, and like I've got a friend that's in Wyoming, he's had wild horses on his place for so long, and he calculated the damage and figures that the Department of Interior owes him close to $400,000 for forage that he has lost to the horse population. Well, Ken Salazar basically has been ignoring him, and now he's left, and now the next, you know, secretary is in there, and Chuck Sylvester is continuing to file this bill trying to get it paid, see? And that's the problem, you know, because that's economic viability that was stolen from him by a species that's non-indigenous that the federal government will not do anything about. Because of these shrill animal advocates.
I think they use them, though. I'm not sure how much clout in a lot of cases the animal rights people have. I think they're a good excuse. Oh, we can't do that. We'll get sued. You know, you hear that from the agencies all the time. Can't do the right thing.
So sue them.
Exactly.
What the heck? You know, you're getting sued anyway. What's the BFD on that?
Can we say BFD?
I think we can say BFD.
I think it's too late. We better take a quick break and research that. We'll be right back with Mr. Frost, who really is a BFD, actually.
He is.
Yeah. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM.
The law.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingraham from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Bye to the long-beaked dolphin and the glossy black cockatoo, the spotted cat and the muskrat, the kangaroo. Goodbye to the yellowfin tuna, vicuna and humpback whale, starling sturgeon and sugar bird, Himalayan quail, the Brazilian armadillo, the screech owl and gazelle,
oh, yeah, yeah,
the rhinoceros and the ocelot,
darn it,
the
sorry,
Ceylon elephant, the gecko, the gangang, the gibbon, the catfish and prairie dog, Singapore minnow and freckled mouse, Las Vegas frog.
That was the endangered species song.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I think we better list the kangaroo because I have not seen one of them in a long time.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Maybe that's our guest calling back. We sure have had a lot of phone fun today. Today was like a phone fun day. I would tell you who sings the endangered species song, but I don't know. And there's a funny beeping in the background, like maybe the phone is disconnected.
Well, the whole Endangered Species Act. I mean, that, if we could get that in check, I think that would solve a lot of our problems because they really do abuse that a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's abused horribly, and it's just interesting that you only seem to be able to find these endangered species in areas where it stops industry or agriculture. It's a lot of that. You know.
Oh yeah.
If you're gonna,
oh yeah, if you want to advance your point, jump on the Endangered Species Act and find a critter that will shut everything down. Because the first thing they're going to do is study it, and in the meantime, stop all progress. Because there might be a mouse or a frog or a lizard or a worm or a shrimp or a fish out there somewhere.
You can do the endangered species song.
I could almost do it. I was there.
All right. We have Randall on the phone. And while we call Mr. Frost back, let's chat with Randall for a second. Randall, what's cooking? We hope it's an endangered species.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead, Randall. You're on.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron.
Yes?
This is a question for you.
Fire.
On November 4th of this year, we're asked to vote for all these judges,
mm-hmm.
and you had a judgevoterguide.com.
Yep. I think it's
a good website?
I think it's .org, actually.
Oh, .org?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good website to vote?
It's a great website. If you're going to research judges, Bill's going to double-check Judge Voter Guide that it's a .org. But I believe it is. And, as you're looking for judges, they do a great job of researching the types of decisions they do, because there's really no other place to find information. Yeah, it is. It's judgevoterguide.org.
Hello?
Very, very useful.
And that's a great point, Randall. If we don't get these judges lined out and...
just make sure that they're guys
that follow
the law.
Kind of tip the scales the other way. I mean, we're so out of balance right now with these judges. And judges, let's face it, when you go to the voting booth, have you done your homework on judges? Nobody ever does. But that is one of the areas that if we don't get it straightened out, ultimately they're going to be making the decisions for us. Because in California, you can vote for whatever you want, but the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to throw it back into the courts, and then the judges are going to decide whether or not your vote counted.
Yeah, it's a mess. Thanks, Randall, for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mr. Frost, do we have you?
I'm back.
Back in tow?
Yeah, drop call.
NSA was helping you out, gave you the old...
I changed foil hats.
So we've got about 5 minutes left. Where would you like to send us before we carry on with our days?
Well, I think I sent you those links on the Data Quality Act, and one of several articles produced by Lawrence Kogan, who is an attorney that's been pushing this Data Quality Act. And I highly recommend you have your listeners go out through those links, research the information, find out what this is about, and learn more about what's out there so that they can become more engaged.
I think that's super important. Yeah. Super important because, if you're not a science person and you don't, when somebody doesn't decode all this, you hear they're listing such and such as an endangered species, but you don't always know the backstory. If people wanted to stay current with or research to find out what's really going on, folks that aren't scientists, what's a good tool for people?
Land and Water USA has begun producing articles through many scientists that we have on our group. We have Paul Dresden, we have Jim Pierce, that former U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We have Lawrence Kogan. We have Dr. Willie Soon of the Harvard Solar Institute. We're producing a lot of articles trying to keep people up to speed on these things. So that would be one place to go to keep up on some of the stuff that's going on. There's other organizations out there that we can read. But here's the problem. We can sit here and coffee shop solution everything. We can talk all day long until we're blue in the face. It doesn't solve anything. We need to have people getting more active involved in pushing back, talking on radios, talking in coffee shops. Yeah, we jump up and down and get excited. Oh, this is wrong. But what is anyone doing? Okay? They're all going back to their normal lives and stuff. We need to support organizations that are out there doing the hard work in the fight, in the trenches. And so people need to become educated on who is doing what and support those individuals. Because those are the people in the trenches representing those that can't. So I would recommend that people get more involved in finding out who is in the fight and supporting those individuals however they can, and electing officials that are going to listen to the people and do the work of the people.
Exactly. And nobody's got a miracle in their pocket, but do they at least understand what's going on, and are they willing to go back and do their part?
People need to also learn that everyone individually can make a difference. Just because you're a little person or you're over here, you're a mechanic, you're whatever, you are still an individual, and if you will raise your hand and speak your voice and write a letter or do something, you can make a difference. It just takes time and patience and endurance and consistency to keep at it.
Well,
because
that's...
these people, I guarantee you, are coming after you.
Exactly, and that's how the Center of Biological Perversity does it. They just show up. They show up to everything. We didn't get
They've
into the part...
They've done it to the point...
Oh, I was just going to say, we didn't get to the part about how they get paid for it. But.
Yeah, but they have almost a $6 billion war chest now.
That's the thing.
And that was gained from your money, because anytime they win a lawsuit, all of their expenses and everything plus fees and penalties gets paid back to them from your tax dollars. So they've built substantial war chests to continue this litigation based on failing to follow the Administrative Procedures Act, not science.
Yeah, and they win whether they get paid whether they win or lose, which is a whole different problem. Well, Mr. Frost, we totally appreciate you coming on with us today, and we look forward to having Mr. Kogan on. We've sent a request to him. We'd appreciate it if you shoot a message to him too and ask him to jump on with us. We'd like to learn more about that.
I'll do that.
All right. Well, we'll have you on again and goof off on a Sunday morning, huh? Talk smack.
Heck of a way to drink coffee.
Yeah, talk smack about the government. What the heck? Thank you very much for being here with us. And I wanted to
thank you for having me.
Put out a little reminder that tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the Reading Tea Party at on South Bonneville there, we'll be having the CEO of the John Birch Society, and he's talking about treaties. So if that's all a big murky subject for you, I believe he's there to decode it for us. So that's 6 p.m. tomorrow night. His name is Art Thompson. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Aaron.
Another
episode
of We the People Radio.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading,
Washington. Fears of Ebola in the U.S. now that a case has occurred in Dallas. But the Obama administration says the situation is well in hand.
There is no country in the world better prepared than the United States to deal with this, with the best public health infrastructure and the best doctors in the world. We've been preparing for this eventuality since the outbreak in West Africa started 7 months ago.
White House advisor Dan Pfeiffer appeared on NBC TV this morning. The man in Dallas with the virus is now in critical condition. The Air Force is confirming that one airman has died and two others are missing after being washed out to sea by high waves as a typhoon lashed southern Japan. Japanese authorities say it happened on the northern coast of Okinawa. The Republican who lost the White House race in 2012 is in high demand on the GOP campaign trail this fall. Here's SRN's Greg Clugston.
Mitt Romney was campaigning in seven states this past week, covering nearly 6,000.